Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Jesus said early on in his ministry, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He also said, "Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." What does it mean, suffer little children? What was Jesus saying? The word suffer has various connotations. The word as used here is not implying suffering or hardship, but quite the opposite. Jesus was saying, allow or permit the little children to come unto me, because Jesus Christ is a wonderful solace to their souls, just as he is a comforter to all the souls of them that come unto him. The King James Bible uses many elegant expressions that may appear archaic to our common everyday vernacular, but understand this. As a civilization becomes depraved, so does its language. America doesn't need new versions of the Bible, but a return to holiness and restored literacy. So, Indiana, as you awake from your beds this beautiful morning that the Lord has made, rejoice in it and know you have a glorious comforter to bring peace and rest to your soul in the midst of this volatile world. But the question is, who in reality is that comforter, since Jesus is not physically present in the world today, but sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Jesus told his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel according to John, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Jesus has not left the world comfortless, but has brought us abundant hope and peace if only we put our trust in him and in his words. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead, and he will confirm all that Jesus said is of absolute truth. He brings the Bible to life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is determined by one principle alone, the total loss of self. Selflessness is the source of all virtue in man. In the same way, selfishness is the source of all sin in man. Whatsoever is done out of oneself will be burned up at the day of judgment. What is done out of obedience to the will of God remains. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will not ask how good your work is. He will only ask who does the work, his spirit or your flesh. The Apostle Paul said, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. These are not my words, but the words of the Holy Ghost. Take heed that no man deceive you, and hear what the Spirit saith." May this sermon series, The Messenger, bring you hope and comfort this day. Again, remember, each Sunday here on Freedom 95, a new segment of each of my sermons, about 26 minutes worth, are played with a short overlap of the previous week, to refresh your memory about the prior week's message. The topic of the Holy Spirit is immense, and I pray the Holy Spirit will draw you to listen this morning. The Messenger, Part 7.
In my life, I went to Bible college at the Baptist Temple just 1 year. I did most of my learning, my graduate course was just sitting at the feet of my pastor, learning from him. Day in and day out, and reading the Word of God and studying it and reading it again and again. The Holy Spirit does the teaching. The Holy Spirit is pictured as the wind. Note what Jesus says about the new birth. Except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's water baptism and being baptized of the Spirit, or being born again and being born of the Spirit. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's why you need a second birth, to be born again spiritually. We've all been born one time. Most of you have been born a second time. Amen? Amen. That wasn't loud enough. Amen. Most of you have been born a second time. Amen?
Amen.
All right. And so we need that spirit, that birth of being born again spiritually in our minds, a renewed mind in our thinking. And so it says there, Jesus went on, that he which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Here's this Holy Spirit. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You say, uh-oh, what is that word, Pastor? That's an old King James Bible, means chooses or desires. Where the wind. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So it is every one that is born of the Spirit. Now, I have done plenty of sailing on the high seas, and I can tell you what the winds do to a sailboat. The strangest things can take place in a moment of time. And you're sailing along, gradually enjoying your day, and you got your sails trimmed, and you're just back there at the helm. And all of a sudden, in the twinkling of an eye, and the sun still beaming, boom, the wind changes direction, and you didn't see it. One time we were sailing in a race, and we had one type of sail out for a particular wind direction. It's called a spinnaker, where the wind's coming from behind you. And so there's a whole bunch of sailboats with spinnakers up. Those are those real colorful, pretty sails that you see on TV pictures and magazines and stuff. And, you know, we're just cruising along because that wind's coming from behind you. It's like a big parachute in front of the sailboat catching the wind. In a split second, every one of those boats, including the one I was on, was thrown over because the winds changed direction so abruptly. It took that spinnaker and it shifted to the side of the boat and brought it, slammed it down into the water, broke our spinnaker pole. It did it to all the boats. It was like boom, 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 boom. It just came out of nowhere. So that's what this passage is saying. You don't know where the winds are coming. Down in Tampa Bay, you see a storm coming, and you see the anvil head of the storm, and you know you're going to get pounded by wind. And it's rushing down, and the wind, you know what they say about these planes? You know, planes got to be careful about a wind shear. You know what a wind shear is? It's a vertical wind drop. It's wind that comes driving downwards. And that's what's happening on these anvil head storms, these heavy-duty storms. They're driving wind in front of them vertically downwards. And you can watch it on the bay, in Tampa Bay. The water starts to boil. And you watch the water boiling as it's coming towards you. And you know you're going to get hammered. And so you time it. Hopefully your timing is right. You drop all your sails immediately. Jump on your sails, and the boat, even though it doesn't have a sail up there, just with that little stick up there, the mast, the boat will go boom, just like that, real fast. And then the wind shear is gone, and then you hoist your sails back up again. But that wind shear could destroy a boat instantly. But at least you have a little bit of warning because you see you're watching the water coming towards you. And you can see it boiling. And so the wind, the Holy Spirit is pictured as the wind. And it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. God is moving people to do different things. The Holy Spirit brought me to Indianapolis. Amen. Introduce me to my wife. Amen. Amen. But I had no desire, no ambition to come to Indianapolis before I got saved. I had no desire. I wanted to be by the water. The Holy Spirit has a sense of humor. It brought me into a landlocked state. I like to ski. It brought me to a flat state. And so the Holy Spirit led me in a different direction. Notice Paul's roadblock and subsequent Macedonian call is evident of the Spirit's leading, much like the unpredictable winds of the sea. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. The Holy Spirit was forbidding Paul from preaching in Asia. The Holy Spirit put a roadblock. Now that meant for Paul, he's right around the Black Sea, and the Holy Spirit is saying, don't go east. And it says, as we continue on, after they were come to my Asia, they assuaged to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Now, where is Macedonia? It's the northern part of Greece. Okay, it's the part of Greece just north before the Aegean Sea and Athens. He's at the Black Sea. He wanted to go east, and the Holy Spirit said, go west, young man. And what's interesting is the Holy Spirit has moved the gospel, what? In a western direction. Now, yes, there were some of the apostles that did go east. But who embraced the Word of God, embraced the Lord Jesus Christ the most was what? It was the West, wasn't it? Europe and then America. The Americans, North America, South America. And so the Holy Spirit steered Paul to go in a different direction than he was intending to go. The Apostle Paul was in a shipwreck. Everybody survived the shipwreck, but that ship was taken by that storm nowhere near. Paul was under arrest. He was a prisoner. He was supposed to be taken to Rome to go plead his case before Caesar. And the wind took him to the island of Malta, I think it is, if I'm not mistaken. They had unlaid everything off that ship. That means they had to unburden the ship of every object on the ship in order to survive. But the wind just drove them in a direction they did not want to go. And they had to wait for another ship to come. And so the Holy Spirit is pictured as a wind. It takes individuals. It moves upon continents. It's just a powerful thing. What was the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? What's the representative of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Okay, the Israelites in the wilderness. Pillar of fire by night, cloud by day. And what did the Holy Spirit do? It led them by that pillar of fire or pillar of smoke through the wilderness and where to go. When they stayed in the wilderness for 40 years, that pillar of fire led them around for 40 years in the wilderness. They were led by that Holy Spirit of God. The book of Acts portrays to the reader the growth of the infantile church of God. It means the baby church. It just started. The miracles, or the miraculous acts of the apostles, and the defining work of the Holy Spirit is found in the book of Acts, okay? It's the acts of the apostles, their miraculous works based upon the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, and the growth of the infantile church of God. The Bible says here in Acts chapter 20, take heed therefore. Now Paul is speaking to the elders or the pastors of the church of Ephesus. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Now Paul spent a great time in Ephesus. There may have been multiple churches in Ephesus, not just one. There were multiple elders, and he says, the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. What am I doing to you? I'm feeding you on a Sunday morning, and it ain't eggs and bacon and toast. I'm feeding you manna from above. I'm feeding you with the manna from above, and the Holy Ghost is teaching me and steering me and leading me in the direction where to go. So we read in the book of Acts. Now, this is when the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to the church. It was 10 days. It was called the Day of Pentecost. The Day of Pentecost occurs 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. I believe I'm correct on that particular point. So Jesus, after he resurrected from the grave, he was on earth for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. And then 10 days later, the disciples were told to stay in the upper room until the Comforter came, the Holy Spirit came upon them, which was 10 days after he ascended up into heaven. And then the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. So we read in the book of Acts, now this is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now some believe this is the only baptism of the Holy Spirit. This was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is, I believe, one of the baptisms of the Holy Spirit. This is the main baptism of the Holy Spirit. But every one of us, every time you get saved, born again, you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you get baptized with the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit dwells within you. And so I believe that it is an event that occurs to every person, and this was not a one-time event, though you may hear some preachers on the radio or TV say this is the one and only time of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it says in verse 1, chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. 120 disciples were up in the upper room praying. They were told to stay there until the promise would come. Let's see where Jesus says that, chapter 1. And it says, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. They receive power. There's power. It's the a dunamis power that's spoken of here. Not authority, but power, just boldness, the drive. Jesus said in verse 4 of chapter 1, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, that was the Comforter, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Where Jesus told them about the Comforter, and we learned about the Comforter early on in this lesson. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus ascended into heaven, chapter 1, and chapter 2 is the day when the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven. So verse 2 of chapter 2 of the book of Acts, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Remember, we talked about wind is a symbol. The dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We've dealt with that in the past. So rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. So fire is another symbol of the Holy Spirit, another picture of the Holy Spirit. So we have a dove, you have oil, you have fire, you have wind, are all the emblems of the Holy Spirit that represent the Holy Spirit in Scripture. And so, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, they weren't speaking in some gibberish language from outer space, okay? They weren't speaking to aliens. They weren't speaking to Martians, okay? They were speaking foreign tongues, foreign languages, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Remember, the Jews were scattered, so they came back from foreign nations for these feast days and for trade, and they had all different languages. Not everybody spoke Jewish language, which was what language? The Hebrew language. They didn't speak the Hebrew language, and some didn't even speak the Greek language, which was the common Roman language at that time. And so you just had people. It was the international Mecca of that day and age, Jerusalem. And so you had people there with all different languages. This is how the Holy Spirit, this is how God got the gospel message out. He allowed his men early on to be able to speak and utter the gospel in different languages. Or he allowed somebody to speak the gospel and allowed somebody who spoke a different language to be able to hear coming out of that man's mouth the gospel message in his own language. That's how the gospel spread so quickly. And that was the miracle of God. That was the miracle of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues, Bible tells us, there's going to be a time that it would cease. Just like healing. Okay? The type of healing that Jesus did, the type of healing that the apostles did, the resurrection of bodies, a dead body. The apostles had that ability. That was to further the gospel. So resurrecting the dead, we have in the book of Acts, you have Paul. He was speaking in an assembly, and there was a man high up in a loft, and he fell asleep. Paul's preaching, don't fall asleep, okay, in my preaching. But they fell asleep in Paul's preaching, but Paul just went on and on and on. I could see you falling asleep after 2 hours of my preaching. But he fell, and he died. And Paul laid upon him, and he revived and came back to life. He was filled with breath again, and he revived. And so there were miracles of right after the book of Acts, the lame man who sat by the gate called Beautiful at the temple, and he was carried there every day. He couldn't walk. And Peter said, you know, he was a beggar and he was asking for alms. And Peter said, we have no gold or silver to give you, but what we have we'll give you. Rise up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was healed immediately.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week in person and right here on Freedom 95.